Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. San Juan Regional Medical Center is your community hospital, committed to making life better for the communities we are privileged to serve. In fact, better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. What matters most to our patients matters most to us. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so you can get the quality care you need right here at home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, celebrating life better here since 1910. Minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Wednesday morning, the 12th day of October, 2022. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin, and thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air here in San Juan County, New Mexico. In Durango, Colorado, of course, you can tune us in at 103.3 FM and everywhere else on the planet. Just go to ksje.com. You can always stream our signal right there on our website. We also welcome our viewers who are joining us this morning, watching our visual radio program. The video is streaming out live this morning to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. So we're glad that you are with us this morning, everybody, because our focus today, San Juan Regional Medical Center. We are getting some updates about programs and some new things going on at the hospital, including some robotic news going on at the hospital. You'll learn more about that in just a moment with my guests here on KSJE this morning. Then later on this hour, we'll be checking in with Ron Price, who has the antidote to some of the relationship germs he's been talking about over the last few weeks with me. So that's coming up later on this hour on KSJE. Mick Hess will be here, Roving with the Arts, our classical music program, of course. Today, he is playing music from both Stravinsky and Strauss, so enjoy that coming up today at 9:06. And then, of course, at 10:30, it's our local and regional author program, Right on Four Corners. And Tracy Hales-Vass is speaking with author Jody Lee Stewart about her latest book, Summer of the Ancient. And you'll learn more about that coming up today, 10:30, right here on KSJE. Don't forget, you can also connect with us on our Instagram page. And if you're a podcast person, you can subscribe for free to KSJE Podcasts wherever you listen to podcasts, places like iTunes and Spotify and iHeart and Pandora and Amazon Music. You can just search for KSJE and we're right there. Check it out. Outside our studios this morning here at San Juan College, it is a sunny morning, 44 degrees though, so fall is definitely in the air. We're expecting a sunny day today though with a high of 74, overnight low tonight near 40, and that's kind of the same story for the next several days. Look at it, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Sunshine, 74 degrees for a high, maybe some increasing clouds on Saturday night, and a chance of showers Sunday and Monday, maybe about a 50% chance of rain on Sunday, with some scattered showers in the forecast and a high of only 64 degrees on Sunday and 61 on Monday. So definitely fall weather is here. Let me introduce my guests who are here with me this morning from San Juan Regional Medical Center, as I mentioned. From the Public Relations Department, Laura Werbner is here. Good morning and thank you for coming in.
Hello and good morning.
Good to have you here.
Always nice to be here.
Also from the operating room manager is with us this morning, Starla Borella. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here. We've talked that you've already been up for hours and hours and hours in meetings, and now you're here.
A few hours.
Yeah, just a few, but thank you both for being here. Laura, let me start with you about some of the things going on at the hospital. Of course, the weather is getting colder, and so with that, we talk about flu, and the hospital has always been providing flu shot clinics for residents, and this year's no different.
Yep, flu season is here. So it's October, and that is when we have our drive-through flu shot clinics. We are offering two flu shot clinics this year. They couldn't be any simpler because you don't even have to get out of your car.
I love it.
Yeah.
Right. Just roll up your sleeve.
Yeah. So they are, yes, as you see there, Saturday, the 22nd and the 29th from 9 to noon. You basically just pull in on Maple and you go through the parking lot. We've got a parking lot that's directly behind the hospital where the nurse will just have you be ready, you know, wear short sleeves so you can roll up your sleeve easy, and
right.
You sign your consent form, get your shot, and go on your way. It's free. This clinic is for adults 18 and older, so we don't have flu shots to accommodate children at this clinic, but anybody 18 and older, we're happy to serve.
Okay, and I guess it's kind of while supplies last is how they say it, right? So
yes.
You've got...
We have a lot of supplies, though. So,
good, okay.
I would say we always have quite a line, a little backup. First thing, people getting in line waiting right for that 9 a.m. to start, but you really don't need to do that. We have hundreds of flu shots, and
okay. So you're not going to run out. You don't think you're going to run out.
I will knock on wood, but okay. I really don't think we'll run out. If you don't want to get there, you know, right at 9, skip the line, just go drive right through by coming a little later in the morning, and that should be totally fine.
Okay.
But we are partnering this year with the public health office because we want to encourage people to also get their COVID vaccines. So the public health office is going to be open offering the COVID boosters and COVID vaccines for all ages 6 months and up, same days, same times. And we're really not located too far from each other, so you can get your flu shot and then head over to South Miller and get a COVID booster or shot if you need one. And we were talking about this already this morning. Can you get both at the same time?
Right. And I did.
Yes.
So apparently you can. So
and
there,
you can.
There you go. That's
yes.
right. And so then you're all set to go. And this is the new booster, we should mention, is kind of been designed for the latest variant
yes, Omicron
of
booster.
COVID.
Yes.
And so it's to be a little bit more effective, I think, in trying to lessen the effects of that
yes,
part of
that
COVID.
Specifically.
So.
Yeah, we want to keep people healthy. You know, we want to keep people out of the hospital. Of course, people don't want to end up in the hospital with the flu or COVID.
Right.
So, we really encourage people to be proactive, get those vaccines, and do their best to stay healthy this winter.
There you go. And as we always say, if folks have a question about a particular vaccine, mm-hmm. the best person to ask about that, who knows their personal health conditions and other issues that they may be dealing with, is their personal physician
yes.
or their primary care person, and that's the person to ask, and then they'll know whether or not that's right for them.
Exactly. Talk to your doctor and come see us if you can.
There you go. So the dates again, October 22nd and October 29th, 9 a.m. to noon, mm-hmm. right there at the hospital on Maple, and follow the signs, and I bet you can't miss it.
Yeah, corner of Maple and Schwartz. There's a parking lot right there. You won't miss it. We've got signs. We've got people. There'll be cars. There's a tent. A great group of nurses and nursing students as well from the college who
nice.
Come and give those vaccines out for us.
Very good.
Yeah.
So there you go. But you have two opportunities to do that.
Yes.
And these are for adults only. And
18 and up. And,
okay.
You know, our pediatrics clinic is giving out flu shots for kids. So if you want a flu shot for your child, of course, contact your child's provider, or if they're at San Juan Health Partners Pediatrics, they can go there for that.
There you go. And we haven't really had too bad of a flu season because I think of our masking and our other things with COVID, of course. And so I think folks are just kind of cautiously optimistic that hopefully we won't have a bad flu season. But
we hope so.
If
and
you
I,
get a flu shot, then you're more protected.
Exactly. We did talk about that. So I did check on that. And we have not had any patients as of yesterday when I checked in the hospital with the flu yet
okay.
this season. So
good.
Let's keep it that way.
Hopefully we can keep it that way. That's mm-hmm. true. Very, very good. Well, excellent. Well, let me ask you too about another thing, and that is the masking policy, because
yes.
we've talked about COVID and things like that. Things are kind of relaxing a little bit
mm-hmm.
Around the state and around the country, but the hospital is still having some masking policies in place?
So yes, it's a little different depending on where you go. But if you come to the main hospital, that lovely building you see right there, if you're watching our visual program,
right?
Then yes, we do still require everybody to wear masks in the hospital. We just have to be safe and protect our patients, protect those really vulnerable people who maybe are immunocompromised. So right now, that is still the policy in the hospital, where please wear a mask. However, we have relaxed that masking policy in our clinics. So if you were to go to the heart center or the spine center, or maybe see your internal medicine doctor or one of the family medicine clinics, you do not have to wear a mask any longer at those places. Of course, if you want to wear a mask, you are always welcome to wear a mask. Whatever is making you feel most comfortable, but you're not required to wear a mask in those clinics.
Got you. But the main hospital, yes.
Yes, the main hospital, yes. Please just keep that mask in the car, because there are some places that you're still going to need it.
Right. And I've noticed that too, even around the community as well, that mm-hmm. sometimes you need one. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I've got one in the car.
Keep one there handy.
There you are. So yes. Very good. Good to know. All right. Very, very good. Let's talk about some other stuff this morning. And that's why Starla Barella is here, because the hospital is the owner of a pretty new, I think, because you're just doing training on it already, a new surgical robot in the operating room. And the whole term just sounds fascinating to me. And so I'm glad that you are here to kind of explain to us what a surgical robot is and what it can do. And I imagine it opens up a whole new world of opportunities for your surgeons and the other folks that use the operating room. So tell us a little bit about this piece of equipment. I'm sure it wasn't cheap either.
Well, you know, all good things have a cost.
Right? Yes, they do. But how exciting.
It is very exciting, and we are very pleased to offer the community this new innovative technology, and it's new for our facility. Robotics has been in place for a few years now, but we always want to test things out before we move forward with something for great patient care. So the robot that we purchased is called a Da Vinci. I think for those who can see on the monitor, has a number of arms. It was brought to our attention by one of our providers that it looks very much like a robot in one of the Star Wars movies.
Right.
So this robot is utilized, it's actually robotic assistance, and it is brought into, it's currently in our OR, and we have been using it. So it is, it helps our surgeons in a little bit different way. They actually begin with the robot, their surgical process begins pretty much as normal. The robot is brought in and kind of docked to the instrumentation that's already inserted on the patient.
Mm-hmm.
And the provider returns to a console where he has wonderful imaging. It's a virtual visual delight for them, because it's so much clearer. They can see more of a true 3D effect, and therefore.
So that's how they're looking at, I guess, the patient is through this screen, or
correct, right. Correct. And they will manipulate the arms of the robot, which are kind of internal.
Mm-hmm.
It gives them greater access. We already do minimally invasive surgery. But this brings it down to an even tighter mode, so their technical expertise becomes enhanced.
Interesting,
so, very exciting.
A lot of precision, I suppose, is what the word I would maybe think of.
A great deal of precision.
Of how you describe it, right?
Yes.
And so you're doing training these days too for other surgeons on this?
We are currently in process. We've had our general surgeons have been busy doing robotics. And we have a urologist that is also participating with that. And we just had a meeting, as I said, this morning with GYN providers that would like to provide women's services using our robot.
So this robot is pretty, I guess, flexible, if you will, and to be able to do all different types of procedures, it sounds like to me, then, with all these different surgeons learning how to use it for what they do.
It does provide a great deal of flexibility. We won't have it for all procedures. It's not its forte, so to speak.
Sure.
But it is, we can use it in a number of different procedures. That's correct.
Right. And as we can see on the screen, and as you mentioned, it's got these, I guess, maybe four arms?
Yes.
That we can see in the picture, at least. And able to do, I guess, just a lot of, as you were talking, describing a lot of precision things and just monitor a lot of things with the patient. And just, I'm not sure how many hospitals are moving to this, but it doesn't seem like too many just yet, or are we kind of on the cutting edge? No, pardon the expression, cutting edge of this type of technology?
Well, I would say that historically, we've never been obviously in a more modern world of technology, and robotics is becoming more standardized, I think, throughout the nation. Of course, there is a cost associated with that, as previously mentioned, so there's that piece of it for facilities to look at. But moving forward, I would not be surprised to see it grow
right
go throughout the nation.
What's been the reaction of the doctors? Are they excited to have this new technology to learn and to advance some of their skills maybe and to offer maybe a little bit more procedures or maybe a little bit extra things that they maybe couldn't do before without it?
I think they are very excited, number one. Mm-hmm. We have a number of providers that perform different procedures, so this is perhaps advantageous towards some more than others a little bit right now.
Right.
But they are very interested in learning more about this and how it works. Those that have used it, of course, have undergone some extensive additional training, as well as our staff members all have to do the same type of thing.
Right. Laura, let me bring you back in as from a marketing standpoint and maybe just a recruitment standpoint. Could this be used in maybe a recruitment for new doctors, new surgeons to come to the area to say, hey, if you come here, you can get trained and use this, or maybe you already are using this in your current hospital.
I think absolutely, because a lot of these doctors who are coming out of their, you know, medical training and their residencies and their fellowships, they're using these. They're doing this, as we heard when we recently got two new doctors who came in, Dr. Manis and Dr. Manis,
okay,
a general surgeon and a urologist. They're a married couple.
I was going to say, are they related?
Yeah. Because
that would be very odd
they
if they
are.
Weren't. But okay.
And they've been trained on this already. So for them, they're just excited to come to a hospital where the equipment is here and they're able to utilize those skills that they have and be able to use the Da Vinci and the treatment they provide.
Right.
Yeah.
Very exciting. And that's the name of the robot that goes by Da Vinci, right?
So far.
Which brings us to another topic this morning, yes. Which you're having a contest, right?
Yes.
To name the robot. And so talk to me a little bit about that, Starla. What is that? You're asking for ideas from the community.
Well, we are.
We
love to incorporate the community because we are here to serve the community and provide the best service that possible. So we are asking the community, the kids primarily, and Laura can weigh in on this, a Name the Robot contest.
Okay.
And we want them to participate, and there will be the winner will receive a few little goodies, and I think Laura has more information.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to make it fun. So, of course, probably a lot of parents, maybe Star Wars fans out there, have some ideas of what they think this robot should be named already.
Right.
And they can, of course, feed those ideas to their children, but we really wanted to open it to our school-age kids in our Four Corners community. So any school-age child is able to participate. We're going to have a form on our website, and it's at sanjuanregional.com/robotics, or I think it's actually /robot, where it's simple form. All they have to do is pretty much put their name, their school, their idea for what they think this robot should be named, and we have a committee that's going to be looking at all of these entries and seeing what they best think the name, what fits this robot, what should it be, what are they going to be calling it, because sure, you know, it's a new member of the team that needs a name, right?
Yes, right.
Indeed.
Right.
Indeed.
Very cool. And so mostly for kids, mm-hmm. but if an adult sent an entry in, you wouldn't reject it, would you? You might consider it.
I don't know.
All right.
Find a kid.
Let's consider the prizes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Let's think about that. What do you got?
We did make the prizes kind of a, you know, family-friendly, kid-friendly.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So some of the prizes, I'll tell, let Starla tell about the hospital cool associated prizes, but the ones that are kind of partnering with our community is we're going to have passes to Fly High. So
nice.
To take 5 people to Fly High, 5 passes to go to the roller rink, go skating, the movie theaters, go to the movies, get some snacks, just really trying to celebrate our other local area businesses and have fun with it. But in addition to that, there is also an associated kind of hospital prize pack that I'll let Starla tell you about.
Yeah, so we will be welcoming the winner of that. At some point, we'll plan a special day or time for them to come in and actually see the robot.
Nice.
They'll get a picture, a photo up there for them, and meet some of the folks, some of our wonderful staff that will be working on the robot. And I believe they'll get a little plaque to commemorate
nice.
That.
Okay. But that doesn't help. I still want to make an entry then, because I want to win those prizes.
Oh, Scott, that's what the questions were for. Do you have some names
really
already?
Cool. Well, of course. Who wouldn't want to submit Robot McRobot Face or something, you know, like that? But exactly. That's probably not going to win.
Yeah.
But what a great opportunity. Is there a deadline to get these entries in? I imagine you can't leave this open-ended forever, right?
Yes. There's a deadline. So we're actually, you're the first person we're telling about this contest. So
breaking news, just a minute, everyone. You heard it here first. Wow. Okay.
But we're opening up the contest through November 7th. And our plan is to announce the winner on November 17th.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So not a lot of time to get your entries in. I mean, just a couple of weeks, because here we are middle of October.
Easiest form you could ever fill out.
Right, of course.
Click submit, and then we'll do the work from there.
Okay. And the website, again, you confirmed the right address?
SanJuanRegional.com/robot.
Okay. And you'll find it right there.
It's there.
Mom and Dad and everybody else. So submit.
And we'll have flyers. We got flyers. We're going to send them out to the schools. We're going to let people know.
Okay.
But we wanted to let your viewers know first.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. That's very exciting. It's a name the robot. And so, but it's a very exciting tool, as you were mentioning, Starla, about having this in the operating room and to, again, get all your doctors, surgeons trained on it and things like that. And so where are you? How many doctors at the moment are you able to use this? Do you have a number?
All of our general surgeons either have been or are in process of going through their final training or additional skills labs. And some of those, they have been in these rooms previously, so it's not completely new to some of them. Our urologist is already up and running, has been through residency. So those two service lines are up and running.
Gotcha.
And we're very, very happy and excited to, like I said, to provide this opportunity for our community.
Right.
It's our goal is, I think Laura said it earlier, to always be better. And we take that very seriously for our patients.
Right. I guess one more tool, if you will, right?
Absolutely.
When it comes to healthcare and options for patients and things along that line and for doctors,
Absolutely.
Too, to be able to offer this type of thing, and that maybe, you know, well, they can do this procedure with this robot, whereas maybe without it, it would be a little bit more complicated. And so that's where we are. I wanted to ask you too, and Laura, this probably goes back to you a little bit, about the addition to the cancer center, which has been a really big deal. In fact, the whole center had to be shut down for several weeks this was it months? Yeah,
yes,
it was.
We shut down at the end of May, and we're back open now, but we just opened back up in October. So we did just start patients who are undergoing their radiation treatment with this brand new equipment. And
there it is.
There is one of them. That's the CT scanner, the GECT simulator.
Okay.
So this is brand new, top of the line. And it works in tandem with that linear accelerator that I know that you talked about last month with Troy.
Who's there in the picture.
Yes, who's there in the picture. A lot of really cool equipment that just is going to bring a whole new level of treatment to cancer care here that we previously just couldn't do. We just did not have the technology to be able to treat some of these smallest tumors that we can now treat here at home. So patients, instead of having to send them elsewhere to get their care, they're going to be able to get that care right here, not have to leave the community, because this is, you know, weeks long treatments we're talking about when they're going through a course of radiation. And that
is the
Varian Edge, the linear accelerator that actually delivers the radiation.
And from what I remember about my conversations with Troy, this new equipment can really, again, pinpoint a much smaller target, I guess, if you will, of the treatment. And so you can maybe even treat tumors and other things that are a lot smaller than maybe you could have before, and save a lot of the surrounding tissue from getting any extra stuff that doesn't need, I guess, right?
I believe
you can tell that I'm not a physician.
And neither am I.
Right. But that's kind of the idea. But this can do a lot more with procedures and a lot more with for patients, right, than the old one could, I guess, is the idea.
And what Troy said was kind of down to 5 millimeters. They've got these cones that they actually put right on that head that just
focus, I guess.
Focuses that beam, and and that whole machine, and there you see, putting one of the cones on right there, that whole machine can rotate all the way around to deliver the treatment to the patient. So, and another thing that I thought was really the coolest part about this is for a lot of these certain types of cancers and the treatments that they need to undergo for them, it cuts down the time that you undergo the treatment.
The number of treatments, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So some of these that were, they said like 5-6 weeks, it's like a 2-week treatment now. So that is significant for the patient.
No kidding. Very true. And so, so that's exciting. And so this is now up and running after being installed and having to shut down the cancer center for months, as you reminded us.
Yeah.
And so people are able to resume their treatments or get their treatments here at the cancer center.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as we know, a lot of folks travel from throughout the region for their cancer treatment here just because of the availability of this equipment. And so this new equipment, again, provides some more options for doctors and for patients as well.
Yes, and I believe that the hope is that this equipment can also expand outside the scope of treating cancer, and there are other treatments it can provide. I think maybe Troy talked about that a little bit, MS, Parkinson's. There are some really targeted radiation therapies that we're exploring.
Okay, very exciting. So again, more tools for your physicians, for your doctors, and for patients here in the region, which is what it's all about. So very, very good. Well, excellent. Well, I think we're just about out of time this morning, everybody, but I appreciate you both coming in to talk a little bit about the jobs that you do at San Juan Regional Medical Center and these new really investments in the community. And like we've both been saying, it's these aren't cheap, both of these things, the Da Vinci robot, which will soon have a new name, and the new equipment at the cancer center. I mean, both these things are not cheap, but they're investments, I guess, in the healthcare of the community.
Yes, they're terrific investments for our community.
Very good. Very good.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you both for coming in this morning. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
You bet.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Good to see you. My guest this morning from San Juan Regional Medical Center with me right here on KSJE. KSJE and San Juan College present the Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week.
Hello, it's me, Emin Chi, from the Student Achievement Center. We're bringing you week 8 of Coaching Tips of the Week. Midterm tips. The best students pre-learn what they're going to cover in class, often by reading over their textbooks, then taking great notes in class, and finally reviewing all of the materials after class. That may sound like a lot, but it's more effective than cramming for long days and nights before exams. Whether it's math or history, retyping, or at least tidying up and annotating, your notes from class is a great way to clarify concepts and help material sink in. Return frequently to previously covered concepts to keep them fresh and utilize them as you are progressing. As you build connections between concepts, you broaden your understanding of the material. Nothing beats flashcards as a study tool, and they are an easy way to notate important concepts for future studying and review. If you don't understand something, address it immediately. Go to office hours, work with a friend, meet with a tutor. Nothing derails learning like building on a shaky foundation.
The Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week, presented by KSJE and the Student Achievement Center at San Juan College. Four Corners Musical Theater Company presents Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, at the Farmington Civic Center, October 20th through the 30th. Halloween Thrills and a haunting musical story that follows Sweeney Todd, a barber in historic London, bent on bloody revenge after being framed. Vengeance has never tasted so good. Tickets at fmtn.org/shows or at the Farmington Civic Center box office. Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street. KSJE is supported by the Farmington Museum. What if you could jump into the world of wild krats and swing through the trees like a monkey, or hunt like a dragonfish? Now you can. Wild Krats, Creature Power, and Ocean Adventure Museum Exhibit, opening September 24th through January 7th at the Farmington Museum. Tickets at farmingtonmuseum.org. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.